don't you know drugs are everywhere, drugs are everywhere, drugs are everywhere, you can't stop it. Criminalize it, make it profitable, and so it's the longevity. Drugs are everywhere, drugs are everywhere, drugs are everywhere. Hey, Murphy. I'm a former heroin addict, current alcoholic, and you're tuned into Self-Medicated Weekly Dose, a podcast all about drugs and the people who use them. As always, this program is inspired by the harm reduction movement, informed by my personal experience using all sorts of drugs for damn near 30 years, and enlightened by my special guests. And boy, oh boy, do I have a special motherfucker on my hands today for you. He's a comedian actor, host of the High and Mighty podcast on HeadGum, co-host of 101 Places to Party Before You Die with Adam Pally on True TV. Please welcome to the program, John Gabris.
A lot of love from the people in the back. That's my crew back there, the fucking cheap seats.
Dude, what's the Gabris up, heads, fam? They were here fucking waiting all morning. I had to deal with these lunatics waiting for you.
Dude, I hope you checked their assholes because they've been known to smuggle.
Cavity searches were done and confiscated and consumed. Whatever I found, I did.
Oh, perfect.
That's always my rule. If I'm going to fucking frisky, I'm going to do it if I find it. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, I found something. We'll split it, though. Be cool.
Let that's
me
right.
get half this pill. Don't even tell me what it is. I'll just pop it.
Yep, it. Sight unseen. You if you were willing to smuggle it in your asshole, it's worth doing. How are you, brother? It's good to see you.
Man, I'm good. I'm all right. The weather kind of broke today in L.A., and like we've been having kind of – for the first time ever, I've been living here for 10 years now. For the first time ever as a West Coaster, I got like seasonal affective disorder, I think, this year because it was like very rainy. And I thought moving out west would take that out of my life, but it came back, and I'm trying to beat it.
Dude, you've been getting a touch beat of it. Everything out there. The rain, the fucking snow, the flooding. It's like you guys are getting the front
we get
line.
We get fire, mudslides. Yep. We get the Santa Ana winds. We got all of Captain Planet, but like the evil version. Kwame is going to fuck us up with an earthquake in no time.
Yes. Man. Well, it's been... I'm glad you're still with us. I'm glad you can still join us out there. You haven't fallen... I'm on the West Coast.
Yeah, same.
Now, not California, but...
Where are you?
Me and Kolsky are in Portland, Oregon. She's originally from Portland, so me and Diana moved out. So we're closer. We're inching our way towards
Oh, that's
Oregon.
Awesome.
Yeah, dude, we love it out here. We had a kid, and we fucking moved to Portland. We're like, we're over New York. And you know, that's a young person's game. It's a grind out there. You know how it is. So we're
indeed I do. I have what people consider mild success in the industry, and I'm fucking toast. I'm
tired.
Ready to fucking become a lifeguard at a lake in fucking Montana or some shit.
I would love to see that. There's a travel show. There's 101 places to die before you party or something. I don't know what they'd have to switch the title on that one, but wherever it is, if it's Baywatch with Gabris. I love that.
Shit, dude, that's awesome. Portland fucking kind of rules.
Yeah, like, it's a fun town.
I know it's like it's a butt of a lot of jokes, but the thing that's getting roasted about Portland is something I would like look for in a place to live. They're like, nobody wants to work. Everybody just wants to do cool shit. And
yep.
Oh, you can do drugs wherever you want. It's like, oh yeah,
it's like,
sounds
check,
shitty.
Check. Yep. Yep. No, for sure. Yeah, it's a fun town. And of course, you know, the media always plays up. We've got the Proud Boys and Antifa apparently, you know, fighting on top of our rooftops every night, according to the media. But, you know, as we know, that's not.
Well, yeah,
true.
According to the my mom visited from New York and said, where are these tent cities? And I was like, Mom, I don't know what fucking news story you're watching, but there's one right there.
But
like
there's also,
plenty.
Yeah, but they are here.
They're not official, like, locations, Mom. It's just where unfortunately, due to circumstances,
sure,
individuals end up living on the street in tents.
She's
it's
like,
not
but
like...
Google Maps said there was supposed to be yeah. one, right?
I was going to do the tent city tour. Mom, that is not a fucking thing. But it's that fucking, like, conservative fucking news media has,
yep,
like, got everyone, like, I don't, like, people, even, like, not conservative news,
just
media.
Like, yes, down the line,
they got people like I got family in like in and around the New York area who are like, New York City is super dangerous right now. I'm not going down there. I'm worried. My cousin is commuting to New York City. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like we've been living an hour outside New York City for 65 years. Why is
for
this
generations?
All of a sudden,
yeah,
I know why. I'm all of a sudden it's dangerous in New York City. It's like better than it's ever been. No, or safer than it's ever
it's
been.
True. No, it's like there's been a flashback to like, you know, pre-Giuliani era. They're trying to make it like feeling like before the M&M store. We're back to those days. Those
porno theaters and legal CBD everywhere.
Well, you know, speaking of CBD, here's a little segue to get into our dance today, because we got some segments here that I think we're gonna have a little fun with, and CBD is in fact involved in one of them. But we'll kick things off here on the episode with John Gabris with a little bit of the substance report.
This is the question: do junkies' lives matter?
You know,
wow.
You know, Geraldo always asking the tough questions.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Gabris, as we were just talking about, you know, the media, you know, the drugs, all this coming together. The mainstream media's coverage on substance use has been trash as long as I can remember. So what I like to do here on the program is I like to pull some of the top drug-related stories in the news and give them a little fresh coverage, a little something, a little different angle from what you might see on the mainstream media there. And so today we got a story that I pulled. This is from Filter, which Filter's a great outlet, harm reduction outlet. They do the research, a lot of evidence-based journalism, if you can imagine. It exists out there. You got to just look for it a little bit. Yeah. So the thing here now, I don't know if you fuck around with vapes at all. Now, this is talking about nicotine vapes. The headline here is evidence is in on vapes as smoking cessation. Now we need urgency. So I don't fuck with vapes personally. I smoked cigarettes for a very long time, on and off. I smoked again recently until right before I had a kid. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to quit. I'm not going to smoke anymore. But I don't do
hell
the
yeah.
vape.
Congrats. That's the fucking, that's one of the hard, it's like, dude, it's just a little easier than sugar.
That's
like,
right.
It's the hard, dude, it's I tell the hardest that, one.
I tell people that all
you
the time.
Quit heroin.
Yep. It's sugar, it's nicotine, and then it's heroin. And trust me, I know.
A lot of my family is in the medical field, a lot of nurses in my family, and they'll say, people going through alcohol withdrawal is more violent and destructive on their body than going through heroin.
I would say that too. To be fair, I have never reached. I've been always a somewhat functioning alcoholic. I've never reached the
party
alcoholic. You could die. You could physically like heroin withdrawal is really brutal, and you gotta whatever, especially without medication. But you know, you'll live through it likely. There's rare, but alcohol is like straight up. You got to get some meds in there or you'll die. So yeah, alcohol is rough. I think if you reach a certain point,
back to vapes. I've never really fucked with nicotine my whole life, except for like spliffs or rolling blunts with like cigar paper.
Sure.
I have fucked with weed vapes due to like hotel room and movie theater bathroom type situation. I always have a weed vape. But I got into weed to get away from processed shit. So like,
yes.
I'm lying to myself if I vape a lot of THC. So I mostly smoke grass. Like
I'm flower, with you, man. The flowers, of course. Yeah. I love that about you. You old hippie.
I'm 41
their
and
oils.
It's still in there. Yeah, I know. Go nuts with your, I mean, hey, I'll fucking do a dab at a party, but I'll also do a pill off the ground. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like,
right.
Vapes are bad. I eat fucking Taco Bell weekly. Like I make bad choices, but vaping is one that I'm like, I also could easily, I have an addictive personality, something you know about me.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
If I had a weed vape on me, I might become the guy that's like popcorn lunged out and spending like $600 a week.
Just all day, every day. It's that easy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like having to roll and stuff a cone or even just like light a joint means I can't do it like at UCB or while I'm in the waiting room somewhere, like at the doctor's office.
Dude, I'm with
you.
It's
just like, don't give me the ability to fucking do that.
No, no, let me have to have a ritual of some sort to sit down and be like, all right, now I have to do this part before I get to, yeah, otherwise I'm with you.
Put a lock on the fucking cabinet, put anything you can in front of me to slow me down.
Yeah, make me tell a story or something before I do this. Like, let's have this be a process, like a whole thing. The vape, the convenience of the vape is something else. And at least with the nicotine, what they're kind of saying here, because this is what's fun. We talked a little bit about this. I don't know if it was on mic or off mic. I don't know when the hell mics are rolling anymore. I'm fucking talking in my sleep. I'm trying to record it. I don't know what it is. But I don't know if we said this on the show or not. But with Portland, it's funny because with Measure 110 now, they decriminalize all, possession and individual use of all drugs. Which is a wonderful thing that I think is, a start at least to trying to, tackle the war on drugs from a national standpoint. It's setting a little bit of a precedent. But I think what's weird is at the same time, Oregon is very big on as a state on these anti-vape train, which I get from a standpoint of people saying, we don't want the kids doing it, the flavored vapes and all this other shit. But the problem is this actually is a form of harm reduction, because so many people die. Far more people are dying from nicotine, from smoking cigarettes, than they are from any yeah. other drug. Alcohol and tobacco are off the charts with death. They continue.
Right.
So I'm like, it's interesting to see the kind of pushback from maybe the more what you consider progressive people who are just like, yes, of course, measure 110. We're all for that. But we got to get the vapes. It's almost like a regressive. It's weird. It's weird to watch, because they're very much on the train of getting rid of these. Menthol flavored cigarettes are off the table, and the flavored stuff. And really, we all kind of know who that hurts and what communities that hurts. And I'm not saying black folks are the only people smoking menthols, but poor white people like smoking menthols too. I think poor people in general, if you're going to be chain smoking five packs a day and that's all you got going on, sometimes you go for the menthol. You know, that's just what it is.
Yeah. But I think that flavored vape shit is like, we know that they can make money off of kids.
Yes, yes.
They know they can make money off kids. And so that's the uncomfortable thing is that it you is. Know, like, maybe we don't need mango jewels around.
right.
Like, if you're trying to quit cigs, maybe there is, like, sort of just, like, a bit of a bummer vape that isn't cotton candy flavored or something. Just so, because that shit is, that seems a little nuts. Although I think adults should be able to get whatever they want. You know what I mean?
But I'm with you, though. I hear you. Like, the mango is clearly, you're right that it is absolutely marketed and advertised. There's no, I'm not arguing on that front at all. It is marketed and advertised right. for kids. The like mango, juicy mango versions of whatever. That isn't like something an adult generally would be going around doing. But if they wanted to, yeah, I guess you could. Again, this just comes down to like with everything else where you're like, well, the problem here is even if in theory, we've seen this in practice, if you go to prohibition, it's going to make it to the black market. So when a lot of these things in New York, when they did this, it's not like you're preventing, in your mind, you want the state to help you raise your kids, which that's a whole other conversation, whether or not you think that's a good thing, a bad thing, whatever. I think it's not a good thing. And I have a kid, damn it. So now I can actually say it with conviction. But regardless of that, it's like, you know, I get that there being like regulations for things, but for this kind of stuff, it always pushes it to a black market, which is less safe. So whether or not you want to have this, you had those people for a long time, they're talking about, and this is what they used in the propaganda to get these vapes off the shelves, is like, people haven't fucked up, you know, like lung shit and their throats were going and all this stuff. And I'm like, that's because you're buying black market. Like these vapes are coming, you know, they're not being regulated. So I think the problem is like there is a world where this can be, again, not perfectly safe, but less harmful than cigarettes. You know what I mean? And certainly right. less harmful than whatever sort of oil and vape you're buying off a dude on the 7 train. Like, you know, so.
Right. And you're the one who opened my eyes to like harm reduction on an old episode of your pod, which then I brought you on High and Mighty to talk about to yes. me and my listeners, because it's really something that like people who are our age never heard of as kids, because it was just say no forever.
Yes.
But now we're just seeing everyone is like, and drugs are hard to quit.
Yeah.
They're built to be addictive. So like, what can we do to help? And so like, I'm even like backpedaling on the like vape stuff, because if it gets you to quit cigarettes. But then there's also like this whole other thing of like nicotine companies, tobacco companies don't want you to quit cigarettes either. So it's like it's a little.
It's tricky.
It's just we're dealing with like 9 untrustworthy entities. Yeah. You know, like yes. you're talking like tobacco companies, government regulators, and children are like the ones involved, and they're all like intense variables.
That's right. That's right. They'll all bullshit you up and down, you know, before you even know what's right. going on. I mean, we know, we've been there. And it's funny you say about like us growing up with the just say no. I think that was like, if you grow up with just say no, then as anyone who wants to buck the system at all, if you're a kid, it's just say yes. It's never like just say maybe, depending on the circumstances. It's always like, at least I found our generation was like, oh, fuck you. Just say no. We're going to just say yes to all of it. You know, like, and you start yeah. to find yourself in, you
well,
know.
Even like the dam, like a hole in the dam, like, oh, just say no. Okay, I didn't say no this one time and smoked a bowl with friends and I had a fucking blast.
Yep.
So
what else are you
you're
hiding
telling
from
me that? A blanket? No, yeah, exactly. What else? Like, oh, so is Acapulco Gold and Red Devils and Blue, you know, whatever the fuck, the list of fake drugs we had when we were kids, like yep. whatever fucking Maui Wowie I can get my hands on. Like, fucking black tar H sounds fun. If you're telling me weed is a no and this is a no and alcohol's okay because your parents do it all day every day in front of you yep. and everyone you knows and every social event you go to is based around alcohol, that's totally fine. Your dad is an angry violent man, but you must say no to. And so the second you try one little thing and go like, well, what else? Like
yeah.
that's why abstinence with sex is like without abstinence without sexual education is like just don't fuck. And it's like the second you like dry hump and cum your pants, you're like, whoa, 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 fuck. What else about like yes. I like this if I heighten this, it's gonna only be more fun.
That's right. Especially when you're like, oh, wait a minute. I thought my genitals were supposed to fall off immediately and my whole life would spiral out of control and I'd have 10 children. You're like, well, if that didn't happen, then pump away. Now it's time to start pumping.
Yeah, I thought for sure that my buddy would be have a scrambled eggs for brains or be flattened into the couch. Instead, he just plays the bass for 2 hours while you're at his place.
Which is also maybe not great because he needs to get his latest scores out, but like, it's not the end of the world.
No, yeah. We keep telling him, learn guitar.
Yeah, dude, start with guitar. Yeah, please, just learn some basic chords before you pick up that bass. Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is another instance of that. Of course, all this shit is tricky as it goes, but I just found it interesting, specifically in Oregon, with the Measure 110 stuff, and now this kind of coming up really hard, where there's a whole, you know, Bloomberg, man. Michael Bloomberg throws his money around to a lot of weird shit. He's the big you know, Mr. Small Sodas guy. He can only have them small sodas. He does a lot of this weird shit with the public health that I think he just thinks of himself as this, like, I don't know.
Magnanimous. Like, yeah. Oh, I've adjusted society to be slightly better.
Yes, a little puppeteering. Yeah. So he got his he threw a bunch of money behind this this legislation with the vape stuff. So again, it's just like, bro, you know, this is going to do more harm than good is my guess as we see this move forward. Will it keep it out of the hands of some kids? Maybe, but also then the other kids who don't, who go elsewhere for it, then they're even in more danger than they were in the first place. So I don't know. You got to kind of weigh it all.
I was at my my local head shop the other day just buying some rolling papers, and a guy came in and was like, hey, do you have any of those flavored cartridges? And the guy's like, no, see, they're illegal now. But because I know you, I do have some in the back and I can get it for you. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. He's like, because I bought fucking a shit ton of them
for a while.
Before they were illegal. Right. I got like a whole shipment of them. So I'm going to have to get rid of them. Amazing.
I picture that's how it's going forward in a lot of places these days.
For sure. For sure. Well, you know, we're going to slide on over into our next segment here because this is a fun one, and I got a few videos lined up for it. This is a little something that I think our entire country has caught a case of, what I like to call fentanyl fever.
You want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
So fentanyl fever is, you know, as we know, fentanyl, you know, there's no argument here in terms of just like with any drug or with any substance, you know, you need to know what it is you're doing, the amount of it is that you're doing and whatever else. But I think the way that we've caught up into this with overdoses accounted, because of fentanyl is, I think, a large part of which is that people just don't know what the fuck it is they're doing in the first place. Fentanyl has been used in hospitals and stuff. Like, my wife got it when she was having a baby. A lot of people do when they're getting this kind of stuff. So fentanyl is a thing that can, you know, do what it's supposed to do for people, but you need to know what it is you're using. Also, the way you consume it needs to be, you know, very specific. But yet the media has had a lot of stories floating around over the last couple of years, and they've really seemed to ramp up even in the last few months, of like how people are overdosing from fentanyl, what the dangers of this drug actually are to the community.
Yeah, the news makes it seem like it's Dungeons and Dragons in the 80s or some shit.
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
Don't let your kid do this. They will turn fucking evil zombies and die.
And the, just saying fentanyl three times in a mirror and like, you know, fucking Beetlejuice style, it'll step out and just, you know, it'll get a hold of you.
It'll kill a cop from 100 yards away.
That's right. Yeah. Cops are a big one for this. But this is one I wanted to start with these. I got three videos lined up here. And basically, I wanted to go from start with the most absurd and work our way to the most insidious. Because the more it seeps in, the more I think some of this shit people can just go, oh, that sounds ridiculous. You would hope. But we'll get a little bit more into the mainstream as it goes. But here's just a great local news piece that I saw, which is kind of the height of how the fentanyl fever has gone. So let's take a look at this. This is from Florida.
Now to the question a lot of people have been asking this week. Can your shopping cart handle kill you? Aid on Your Side investigates the concern of fentanyl found on shopping cart handles.
Well, I've got some answers for you, Keith. All this started as a simple Facebook warning. But the fact that warning was posted by a police department put fear into the hearts of millions of people who were pushing one of these.
21 inches wide and easy to wrap your hands around, but deadly?
Some say yes. If your shopping cart handle has traces of the deadly drug fentanyl, a potent opioid 40 to 50 times stronger than heroin. Earlier this week, the Leechville Police Department in Arkansas posted this warning on Facebook. The Leechville Police Chief suggesting, quote, if they have fentanyl or something like that still on their hands and they touch that cart handle, and then you do, it can get into your system. To date, there have been no verified cases of this happening.
No,
but the one
not.
Thing Eight on Your Side can confirm, hundreds of hands wrap their fingers around these bars every day, and that means germs. A sanitizing swipe wouldn't hurt. What is lurking on this shopping cart bar? We don't know for sure, but we do know it is cold and flu season, so it's always smart to be cautious and maybe use a wipe.
Okay, so we've gone from death by fentanyl to like, yeah, you might catch a cold. Maybe you should wipe this handlebar a little bit here.
Dude, real quick, because people are listening
yes,
to this,
please.
Not getting a chance to see that clip. There's so much B-roll of a shopping cart handle that you know the camera guy's like, what the fuck is this for?
Yes.
It kills people? He's got like so many pans. They got it up on like a parking lot with a beach in the background.
Yep, yep. They've got it from within. From inside
yes,
the cart?
Yes, they got the camera yeah. in the cart, and they're driving around POV style, like fucking Sam Raimi or some shit. Like, and it's a Facebook post from the police chief,
yep.
and it says, heard this the other day.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So
that's where we're starting.
That's where we're starting, from an evidence-based organization.
Yes.
The police allegedly are supposed to be evidence-based.
Sure. He pops this off on Facebook, and there's a lot of, first they touch, and it's like, they have it on their hands, they touch. So we're doing a fun job of a little they-us situation here, which is perfect. And then you have a fucking news organization pick this up with no other fact-checking whatsoever. You've now amplified this absurd Facebook post on your news from Arkansas to Florida. We've traveled now. And now it's
right.
It's you popping this off like a fucking sick telephone game where you're like, well, we can't confirm or deny. I'm like, you can't use your fucking logical brain to be like, that doesn't seem like how you get high. It'd be like if someone was drinking Jack Daniels and they pushed a shopping cart into the river. If you pulled it out of the river, are you going to get drunk? Probably not, because that's not how Jack Daniels works.
Dude, when she says in the middle there, to date, there have been zero reported cases. It's like, lead with that.
Thank you.
You must lead with that.
Yes.
Dude, we're getting into some kind of new, there's like a new vibe on social media and in the news where it doesn't even matter that, and I'm not saying anything new or revolutionary, but it doesn't even matter that it's untrue. Like that there's, because someone's like, but what if?
Yes. Have
and
you thought about
And then that's enough that? To change legislation and shit like that.
That's the problem.
Like,
yes.
You'll get my mom and other moms voting to like remove shopping carts from malls because it could kill you by your fucking hands
yes,
or whatever.
And exactly. Like, and now we're sitting here going like, we probably need to get some Narcan into certain communities that need it because they're over them. Like, no. The resources before we do anything, let's get the shopping carts out of the mall. And you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. What?
And also, who's shopping with fentanyl on their hands?
Right.
And when they literally even on the news downshift to like, well, we probably should wipe it anyway. And it's like, that's also true.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, 100%. Not going to argue with that. Yep. Little yeah, antibacterial right. wipe.
But, yeah. But not because of fentanyl. Because of airborne disease.
Yes, yes, exactly. The way that things do work scientifically, which is like, yeah, you get some germs on your hands, you fucking pick your nose or something, you might get a cold. You might get, we know that does actually add up. So again, maybe lead with that. Maybe like, if this is some sort of like public health thing to remind people to fucking wash their hands, like in the flu, cold and flu season, it's like, maybe lead with that.
You want to be like, how do you think people do fentanyl?
Yes.
And if you think they're taking it through their hands, in order to get fucked up, they're doing like LeBron James level fentanyl powder. They got to be like,
that's right, yes.
Fucking a big cloud of dust. If your hands could. So even at that rate, people drive me fucking crazy with this shit. Like, I'm sure you have a lot of stories like this too, but I know a lot of ex-opiate addicts, and mm-hmm. I know a lot of dead people from
yep.
the
yep.
same shit, but some of my friends who survived will tell me stories about like boiling a bunch of fentanyl patches in a fucking pot of water to make fentanyl tea and
yes,
drink
yes,
that.
Yes, yes,
and I was like, And then I hear like a cop being like, it hit my hand and I had a seizure. And I'm like I want to call my boys who are fucking in recovery and be like, can you talk to these guys?
Yes, yes.
This
we'll
shit,
also
please.
Be like, why would we be? That's a great example because, yes, we go to great lengths with those patches to get like the fentanyl out of it. Because you can't just, if all we had to do was walk into a room and throw it on the table and sit around and we'd all get fucked up, we'd probably do that because that's a lot easier right. than the lengths
we
wouldn't
go to the grocery store.
That's right. I would just push a shop. I'd go down the fucking cereal aisle. And I'd be high as fuck. It'd be perfect. Yeah, no, it's that's a very silly one. So now we're going to move on. That seems to be easily dismissed. We'll move on to this next one here. And this hits a little close to home in our industry. Now, I don't know if you may have guessed it on this show or not. I know someone who has. This is the show on CBS called FBI. One of those classic procedurals that my Aunt Roberta loves, these procedurals. So this is for you, Aunt Roberta. This one here is another fun little way we see this shit work its way into the people's narratives here.
CBS next Tuesday.
Put the bag on the ground.
Whoa, wait, that's fentanyl. If that bag rips, we're all dead.
This is a pretty crazy story.
I mean, it's probably true.
A new FBI next Tuesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Okay, well, first off, it's a pretty crazy story. Then it's probably true. No, it's not. And again, for the listeners. This woman says if this bag rip, they're in kind of like, I don't even know what this, it's an
a
open
bank or something.
A bank. Yeah, it looks like a bank lobby, a big old fancy a bank lobby. And there's probably 10 people standing around. This guy goes down for a duffel bag that has some fentanyl in it. She says, careful, if one of those bags rips open, we're all dead. Now, this is an open air, you know, I mean, inside, but it's like, oh, very, very open area. People are spread out and around. You know, again, maybe fun for like a fucking ridiculous narrative, but my Aunt Roberta believes these because it's like, well, they'd say these are based ripped from the headlines based on true stories. These are your Law and Orders, your FBI. She's like, the name of the title of the show is FBI. That means these are things that the FBI goes through. Now, forget that I have to tell my Aunt Roberta about the difference between fiction and nonfiction. Let's forget that yeah. for a moment.
That's just something she's been dealing with for decades.
That's right.
Now.
That's on her. But like, you see the insidious nature of how this shit sneaks in and just starts to be normalized where you're like, again, people could go, wow, well, what's the big deal? Well, it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe the big deal is like if people see someone overdosing and rather than being able to help them or call for help or do something, they're running the other way. You know, they're dropping their shopping cart off and they're sprinting in the other direction, which is why I think this could be harmful because it's just like, let's just be reasonable here. Like this, they're treating it like it's goddamn anthrax, which even that would still need a little bit more to get into the passageways. But that's designed like the way that chemical is cooked up. It's designed to be part aerosol, like whereas like fentanyl right. is just a powder. So that's just not how it works. You need to ingest it. You can't just have it.
It would have to be
air.
In the air thick enough that inhaling it would bring actual particles
yes.
into your septum and enough to be like a bump.
Yes,
like,
yes, to be a legitimate bump, even though it's potent. People keep doing that where, well, it's 100 times more powerful. I'm like, I don't give a goddamn if it's 1,000 times. I go to like the alcohol analogy again. I'm like, I don't care if you're drinking a fucking Miller Lite or 151. Like, you still have to ingest it the way booze is ingested. Otherwise, right. you're not going to get drunk. Like, it doesn't matter how potent.
Yeah, it's not like if someone spills a beer on you and or someone spills a glass of 151 on you, you're not like more fucked up when the 151 is in your shirt.
That's right.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Right. If you swallowed neither one of them, then you're fucking stone cold sober. That's just how booze,
right.
That's how that's how liquid works. So yeah, it's a funny it's funny to float that in there. It's also funny that you mentioned before with LeBron with the throwing up of the thing, because I had this and I don't know if I'll end up doing this or not. We'll see. But I wanted to do a video where just to prove all of this nonsense, I wanted to just get my hands on some fentanyl because here in Portland, again, if I'm doing it in Oregon, measure 110, maybe I'm not breaking the law. I don't know if they'll shut down my YouTube page. We'll see. But like doing something where I actually do the LeBron with it. And then I sit down and I just sit there for 10 minutes and I go, I'm not high. I'm not dead. Let's stop with the nonsense.
I'm still
like,
alive.
I thought
yeah.
about doing that. And literally, it's funny you mentioned LeBron because that was the thing that I thought of where I was like, this is the most fun way to show a little, like, just get it on my hands, get around, then up into the air, and we'll just sit around and we'll, because I guarantee you there would be nothing from that because that's just not how it works.
How much do you think copaganda, like these police procedural shows, have like set back like civil liberties?
Pretty brutal, because the lawyer, if you think about the kinds of characters around here, anytime you call a lawyer for anything, that's always immediately like and here we go, here comes the defense attorney. Like,
right.
That's always and then with this kind of shit where they have consultants, so I'm like, they consulted with someone who said like, yeah, you could put this in a duffel bag in the middle of a room and just say like, you know, if it opens up, like
kill everybody,
it'll kill everyone. Yeah, it's pretty rough. And CBS, man, I don't know if they're still America's most watched network, but I always wonder who other than my Aunt Roberta watches CBS. But apparently
well,
a lot of people's
aunts are watching CBS right now. Yes. A couple of uncles, but a heavy aunt population is watching this shit.
Yeah.
Like, I always think about that because, like, when someone watches a lot of true crime, they're like, you know, you can get abducted walking out from the grocery store. And I'm like, yes, you can.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't think it's as common as you think it is. But if you, and it feels like we're so steeped in, like, everyone is concerned with, like, pedophilia and like molestation.
That's that Q pipeline.
Shit.
That's that QAnon fucking.
That's got to be partially SVU's fault.
Yes,
that's got to partially because you just once you've seen 1,000 scenarios in which you know I grew up watching like the sort of fascist light action movies of the 80s and 90s, the kind of anti-liberal fascist like all that shit that was fun. But I do remember being a kid. And being like 11 and having an anti-internal affairs opinion, which is like, maybe you're not supposed to have. Now as an adult, I'm like, let's keep an eye on all the cops.
I hear that. No, I hear that. But yeah, there was this thing of like, oh man, these fucking like IA guys come in and
they,
you know.
They're not going to let them do their job, man. Yo, just beat the fuck out of that guy. Just shoot him in the back.
Yeah, he knows where the girl's hidden. He knows what's going on. Like, you got to get it out of him.
Right.
The time's ticking here.
But I was 12, and my media literacy did develop alongside the rest of me. So I'm hoping for some other people they can learn. They can learn and see that, like, maybe even the news is starting to be because you can get it in so many places, and they all jump off each other, and it's on Twitter, then it's on this, then it's in the paper, then it's on the news, and then your friends are talking about it in the locker room or whatever. And if it's like, you know, these specific cases of like fentanyl on grocery carts. I saw in an episode of FBI, that's the fucking like boomer fucking coconut wire. They're all going to be fucking, purple monkey dishwasher passing that fucking information around. And that's how just like the wrong, like I remember being like younger and like a friend's dad being like, yeah, well, I know you kids are all at school dipping your erasers in whiteout and then sniffing it when the teacher's not looking. And I was like, bro, no.
Where did you hear that?
Fucking
think
drugs.
About that for 2 seconds. Like, that sounds like as a sixth grader, you sound like a moron to me.
I know, yeah. I'm in seventh grade. I can get weed.
Yes,
I don't need whiteout. Am I spraying air freshener on a towel and breathing in? Yes,
sure.
Okay, fine.
I might be huffing every now and again. Sure.
I'm huffing. I am huffing, to
be
fair.
But not the way you think I'm huffing. Get your huffing facts straight. I feel like that's absolutely like, you know, what we see with the telephone game. And a perfect example too is now you're seeing on the news, I think you said this with that other piece, but like you're using a Facebook post, like the whole thing about, we all agreed that like Facebook, man, a lot of misinformation flying around, a lot of unchecked shit. Now the news is just leading stories with Facebook posts where you're like, no,
Florida news station is leading a story based on an Arkansas Facebook post.
Yeah.
That is so problematic.
That's a problem.
That is like...
That's probably
that's
like
gonna be the undoing of society.
That should be like your news. Yeah. Like everyone at this news station is fired, and we now need new people who don't rely on Facebook as their main source.
If you're gonna use hearsay level posts, at least let them be from like local sort of like, you know, you could validate
like,
that.
Or even
hey,
like
I
Randy down at the VFW. I heard him. He was talking out of the side of his mouth last night. He had a couple of beers. He was like, let me tell you something about these fucking shopping carts down the mall. Like, then at least it's entertaining. I don't know.
And Randy's wife, who died mysteriously on their boat, she was a scientist. So Randy knows.
And she did touch some carts. So if anybody comes calling about why she mysteriously died, Randy, tell them, go look at the carts. I don't know how she died.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's true. I saw it on Facebook on an Arkansas. I follow this Arkansas police chief because they got all the right ideas. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's where we're at. Well, here's the last video we've got.
That's where we're at is like the saddest and just like most... frank opinion like yep and it sucks
and we're here. Well, this one here that we've got is a recent one. This one just came out, and I'll tell you about a little bit of a fun follow-up. This is a perfect example of kind of what we're just talking about. This is another news piece. This is from my home state of Pennsylvania, Montgomery County. It's just outside Philly, and this was a great little piece I saw the other day where when I first saw it, of course I started going to myself, well, huh, And then, of course, it turns out to be complete nonsense. But here's what we're dealing with here.
We've got a warning about CBD gummies that actually contain fentanyl and heroin. Authorities say two people overdosed on the gummies in Montgomery County. Both have since recovered.
We found these items. We bought these items in a store. They contain fentanyl. Take them, you could die. So that's the message.
Authorities say they seized the gummies sold in three Tobacco Hut stores, but they want to be clear. If you see them, do not eat them. We've reached out to Tobacco Hut, and here's what the retailer said in the statement. Quote, we continue to work with law enforcement to ensure they have everything necessary to resolve this matter. End quote. We're going to stay on top of it, of course.
Okay, now we're going to stay on top of it, of course. Well, of course you're not, because I've heard nothing from NBC 10, which is the local affiliate there, concerning this story as it's progressed. So we're, of course, going to stay on top of it is bullshit, because, of course, you run the first part of this, but you don't run the follow-up. Which
And now, not to be the fucking stoner nitpicker, but if I do have one area of light expertise,
sure.
It's years of daily weed consumption. Some of the gummies they showed were not CBD gummies.
Thank
they
you, Gabriel.
Delta
Thank
8.
You. Yes.
Yeah.
No, not nitpicky. That's one of the huge things here. You're reporting it. These were the Delta 8, the THC. This is yes.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. So as it turns out, they're not CBD gummies. But in Pennsylvania,
yeah, which is like maybe a step of the news story. And to be fair, that Delta 8 is one of those like Wild West, like almost it's
yep
Kraton level.
You're
fucking
right. That's unregulated. It's unregulated.
It's unregulated. So it could foreseeably someone could have put like that.
Yes.
That's not like you're scaring the grandma who a CBD gummy could mean like pain and anxiety relief.
Thank
off
you.
Of. Like,
yes.
You're scaring them by saying there's fentanyl and heroin in that.
Both.
And it's not an anomaly. Like, oh, we bought it at Tobacco Hut. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. I don't mean no disparagement to Tobacco Hut, but
no,
I don't
no, of
know
course,
if I'm
going to
go get my medicinal gummies at Tobacco Hut.
No, that's right. I mean, that's
the shit, because like someone will be like, I bought a weed vape at a gas station. I'll be like, that's Kratom or Delta 8, and that shit is not regulated.
It's dicey.
I'm not even
it
saying
it could
like,
be dicey.
Gas station vapes are probably not as regulated as you think they are to begin with.
That's absolutely right. Those are like the definition of off the back of a truck. Like that's something right. That just showed up and the dudes were like, yeah, I guess we can, you know, as long as we can, you know, this is unregulated and we're allowed to sell this, we'll sell it. You're absolutely right on that point. So right out of the gates now, you've already, you know, with this story, you've already started to fearmonger beyond, because, you know, again, some of these people who run these stories are not dumb. They know the facts, and then they're running the story based on fear-mongering. So they're like, what facts do we need to manipulate here? Well, we need to do, because if we start talking about Delta 8, blah, 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 you lose people. Like, I don't know what that is. CBD, now I've heard of that. Of course, everyone's grandmother's heard of that. Helps with pain, helps with sleep, whatever. You know, it's like people give their fucking dogs CBD. So it's like, that's enough that they go, here's what we want to throw out there so that everyone is now listening. I'm like, what's this now? The CBD is a problem. So that's already incorrect that they start with. Then they go into this whole thing about these two overdoses that happened, which the follow-up to this story, the Philly Inquirer, God bless them, they're one of the few papers, they have two reporters in particular there that I want to tip of the cap to, that they've been great with harm reduction for years. I don't know how they're still writing for the Inquirer. Some of these other bigger papers probably need to get other people. The Times has one person who's been like, okay, but for the most part, a lot of the newspapers are just as much a problem as your like local news coverage on this stuff. But the Philly Inquirer has been good on this front, and they followed up with this story. Now, none of these other outlets, this is a national, if you just put in CBD fentanyl Montgomery County into Google, you get a shit ton of hits on this first story. You get nothing
and,
on the follow-up.
And all the fucking spin-off of this news story, the people who post it on their private page,
yep.
The podcasters or the streamers who talk about it.
That's
the
right.
Other newspapers that pick it up, other affiliates that pick it up, people
yep.
who comment on it in other ways. Like, and now it's proliferated throughout, like everyone, you hear it enough times, it just sounds like, oh, isn't that the, oh yeah, that's
right, that's
that
thing. Yeah. No, exactly. It's already done its damage in that sense. So now we're left with a few, because this was just last week. So now just a couple, 2 days ago, the Inquirer posts a follow-up where what happened was, is that this two people overdosed on fentanyl and said that they didn't even take anything. So they're now, of course, again, it's because of the criminalization. They're being like, why? We never had anything illegal. We just took these legal things from a gas station, these gummy things. We just ate some gummies. I don't know what happened. So again, if people who are having a medical emergency were not, you know, in fear of being arrested for something, then we wouldn't even have this nonsense to begin with. But they say this, And of course, as cops would never take the word of some fucking junkie overdosing for any other million other things, you know, as that's their frame of mind. And yet here now they go, well, they take it as gospel where they're like, well, my God, these two people overdosed and we're taking some of these gummies. We got to, where'd you go? Tobacco Hut? Off to the Tobacco Hut. So they bought some sampling undercover, went in and bought. Now, again, this is taxpayer money. This is all money being, public money being spent for this hard hitting investigation at the Tobacco Hut. So they go in and buy these undercover, test them with it, with a road, like one of these things that they test drugs just on the street with before they go to an actual lab. This is like a portable thing. These things are notoriously poor at doing this. They've like had people arrested for cotton candy, literal cotton candy testing as meth. Like these things that they use to test on the highways and stuff that the state police have. I forget the name of them, but they're like these little drug testing kits. They're not reliable at all. And any lab would say you don't report on the findings. It's just raised suspicion. So you could arrest someone to go, well, there's suspicion of having drugs, but then you have to have
let's
it backed
double
up.
Check.
Yes. They ran with this story before they even fucking got this, like, anywhere near a lab. They ran with this story saying there's all this fentanyl. So then it gets to a lab. Now people are going, you know, the Philly Inquirer, touching base with the DA, they're going, who has said, we bought these and that's the story. But they ask him, hey, what's going on with the follow-up on the lab? Oh, yeah, well, it didn't turn up anything. And like, well, can we talk a little bit more about it? No, that's it. No more comment. So now the Philly Inquirer is like, they won't give us any more information. We spoke to the lab. The lab's confirmed, yes, there is no fentanyl in any of these samples that they gave us. And now here we are. And it's just like, this again is just a nonsense. So I'm like, NBC 10, if nothing else, give me like a, you know, after the sports, after all the, give me just one at the end of a broadcast. Just give me like 5 seconds to go, oh yeah, and the CBD fentanyl gummies, bullshit. And then move on. Like, that's all I'm asking for.
They're the ones who said more to come. Like, they're the ones who said it. Like, I'm holding you to only your own promise.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
You told me you'd follow this shit up, man. So here we are.
Now, well, that's now, the it's minor, but I want to just talk about something. Like, those people who had an overdose had to lie and maybe that affected their medical care in some way. The poor employees and owners and business people behind Tobacco Hut.
Oh yeah,
now are dealing with bad press.
Well, they're trying to sue. They're trying to sue, as one thing the Inquirer said. Yeah, they're like look, Tobacco Hut's coming for the Montgomery County.
You don't want to fuck with Tobacco Hut, dude. When Tobacco Hut gets out of their chair, you know it's going to be a problem. It's that uncle that never gets up, but when he does, you're like, oh, fuck,
oh,
he's
fuck.
Coming to fucking get
here
physical.
Comes the Hut.
Yeah.
You can't out Tobacco
here comes the
Hut. That's for goddamn.
But Tobacco Hut, the company that made those gummies or, you know, whatever, like so many levels of. So many people, small businesses, were lied about in a way that could affect them negatively.
That's right.
Because of just a lack of chain of custody or like a way of dealing with evidence.
Yes.
And because of the fever in which to get fentanyl stories out there because they do numbers.
That's right.
You know, like, and so all that affected negatively so many people. And that eliminates, like, the systematic, and I'm not even talking about the systematic sort of, like, this is going to proliferate and be a problem, and
right.
There's going to be 100 more stories like this because this did numbers, and it's all, a lot of it is wrong. Like, fentanyl, not safe. If it's in coke that you're doing and you don't realize it, bad. If you are doing it frequently, not ideal. Get,
yep.
You know, like, that's, it's an addictive date. Yes. Is it a fucking uranium-238? Is it fucking anthrax? Is it? It's not even as dangerous as COVID.
No.
People are
no.
fucking like.
It's not. It's not. You're right. And it's the kind of thing
cops
where it's like.
Cops won't wear a mask. Cops won't wear a mask or use a shopping cart.
Yes.
Like, I don't,
yes.
What are you guys afraid of?
I know. And also, who are you? The people you're fear-mongering here are the people who aren't doing the drug either. So it's like you're trying to make them scared, like somehow this can affect them. It could. It's contagious in some way. It's this other element where I'm like, and meanwhile, people go, well, who cares at the end of the day? I'm like, if you're going to kick your heels up and say that public funds should not be used for fentanyl testing strips, for Narcan, for these things, then you goddamn should be kicking your heels up when the Tobacco Hut wins a $25 million lawsuit that is paid for,
yes,
by public funds because the fucking DA went spouting their mouth off. That's money that we're all paying on these fucking, on these lawsuits. So you should be just as pissed off about that as you are about $5 million slush fund for fentanyl testing strips. Like, I mean, let's hear it. Let's have some consistency.
Now, not to be old man, but like crack is whack. A crackhead will come into your house and the cops, they could shoot him 100 times and the crackhead will keep on. And like So back in the day, crack, which we now know the sort of racist and systematically awful like backstory to crack, but crack was also used to like scare suburban people and scare exurban people and urban people who they couldn't. This just feels like a heightening of that. Like,
yes,
if back in the day they could have thought of like, yeah, if back in the day they could have come up with, and if there's crack smoke in the air, it can kill you. Like, that would, because that would just authorize the cops to have more power that. And so back in the day, we were all afraid of crackheads who could come into your house and steal your toaster because they need crack so bad. And even if you shot them or beat them, you couldn't stop them because they're crack zombies or whatever.
Yes,
and you're
indeed.
These are drug addicted people you're talking about now in hindsight. And now, so instead of like disparaging fentanyl users, they're like, it's in party drugs, and it's on grocery carts, and it's killing cops, and it's it can come in through your air conditioning vents and kill your whole fucking family, and you're like, what?
What?
And it's like, no joke, it's dangerous, but you never see anyone fear mongering about fucking cars,
no,
or alcohol,
no,
things that like, or even guns. Like,
I know, right? No, gun. How about that? How about being like, yeah, there's these guns that be like, even if someone doesn't shoot, just being in the area, which yeah, exactly, could very much be a little bit more dangerous. Where you're talking about like, you know, stray bullets flying around or fire being caught in crossfire or some other thing. You're not caught in the crossfire of somebody doing fentanyl. Like, that's not even a real thing. But yet here we are.
In all honesty, I can't speak to this being 100% true, but I think this hypothesis could be proven true. So forgive me, I'm doing a little bit of hypothesizing.
Please.
I bet it's more likely that you are shot in a grocery store than that you have a fentanyl overdose from touching a grocery cart.
Yeah.
I guarantee that. More people have been killed in grocery stores via guns than touching a grocery cart that has fentanyl on it.
Well, has one person been killed by a gun in a grocery store? Yeah, then.
Oh, no. Yeah, then so greater than zero. Yep. Yeah.
No, that's the truth, man. And you nailed it. You nailed it on the fucking evolution of this propaganda, too, because that is exactly right on the crack thing. That is exactly. If they had that, then this is the heightening of that. This is now.
Map it all the way back to Reefer Madness. Before. And then even to Prohibition when they were like, oh, shit, we should give them alcohol back. It's going to be a fucking problem if we don't.
Yep.
Yeah.
So just like.
You know what? We should give them alcohol back because bad guys are making too much money on it. It's truly, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Madness.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's how that worked. And I mean, listen.
Us Irish and Italian scumbags.
Once our crime becomes anywhere near as organized as theirs, it's a problem. It's a serious problem.
They do not like it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, this is where you know, I feel like, just like many other things in America, the heightening, like, we're reaching the late stages of this sick experiment where it's like all of this is going to be like beyond parody pretty soon. Like, you know, we're having a lot of that. It's reached a level where it's like it's hard to imagine it going any more batshit than it is right now. Like,
right.
So it's only logical that with everything, like all levels, you know, areas of culture, we've seen reach this like fevered pitch of like, what the fuck is the news talking about even at this point? Is like, you know.
Wait, quick thought experiment, Murph.
Yeah.
What if the police, in interest of expanding their power and resources, like made guns illegal? Like, what if guns were like a problem, and cops were kind of like empowered and emboldened to take down illegal guns and dangerous guns? Like, they could have the same fucking power and influx of money and cool toys that they get for drugs, but it's less likely to affect like poor minorities. I mean, there are poor minorities with guns. They can get their fucking racist rocks off, too.
Yeah, but they don't have the gun rooms. They don't have the gun show, the mini gun shows in the rooms, you know, that some of these people have that have purchased, you know, so many guns over the years. Yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see. It'd be interesting to see that happen. I know we likely never will. The lobby, there's such a good lobby. There's a big pharma lobby. But, you know, when you talk about like street drugs, whatever that is, it's like, we don't have a great lobby, I don't think, for a lot of the drugs that we enjoy taking.
No, it steps on fucking Big Pharma's money.
That's
yeah,
right.
They're like, no, like, we'd rather you just get prescriptions for the opioids.
Yes,
like,
we'd rather
we can get you fentanyl. Let's just buy it from us.
Yeah, please, like, come to us. Like, we don't. You don't need to. You don't need to push shopping cart around to get high. We'll just give it to you. Well, Gabrus, I'm going to slide in before we get you out of here. I'm going to slide into a little segment that I love to do with all of my guests. And I'm actually very excited to do this with you. You're an actor. You're a comedian. You're a performer, a thespian of sorts. I've seen you pretend to be other people. You're good at it. So I'd like to do this little number here as I take you inside the user studio. We end our podcast session with a weekly dose version of the questionnaire that was used masterfully for 24 years by the great James Lipton inside the actor's studio. And the first question is, John Gabrus, what is your favorite drug?
It would have to be cannabis, for sure. Big fan of psilocybin, a big fan of mushrooms as well, but I think just by sheer usage, if you look, objective observer might say cannabis.
Sure. Cannabis is the main squeeze with a little psilocybin as your side piece. I like that. What is your least favorite drug?
Ooh, as a 305-pound comedian, cocaine is sort of my kryptonite, so I refuse to do it in honor of my idols, it killing my idols. I figured I should avoid it. Yeah,
of course. What age were you the first time you found yourself under the influence?
Ooh, alcohol before cannabis. I'm from a white trash part of Long Island, so started drinking pretty, like, almost every weekend in, like, seventh grade.
There it is. Yes, indeed. That sounds about right.
I think that's 13 or 14 years old. Started drinking every Friday and Saturday night.
Same. Sounds about right. Same thing up in Pennsylvania coal country there. We were with you. What celebrity's overdose death has had the most profound effect on you?
Chris Farley, of course. One of my idols growing up. Yes. And I at a later age, I read his memoir, that his brother wrote about, The Chris Farley Show. And he, like, they talk about his addiction to, like, everything and how he used to, like, slam two iced coffees, like, back to back before a shoot. How he has a bunch of brothers and he played rugby in college. I just kept finding all these parallels with him. And then I knew to just say no to Coke, no matter how much the football team offered it to me.
What is your favorite slang word for cannabis?
Oh, I'm old. I mean, I'm 41. I'm a child of the 80s, but I can't resist the phrase grass. That's the one that gets me laughed. That gets me laughed at the most.
To the late 60s, early 70s. I agree, but I also am a big grass man. Big grass man.
I believe Neil Casey was the first, like, contemporary around me to reference grass as grass, and I was like, "Whoop, that's it for me. I'm only calling it that. That is corny and cool at the same time. Like almost everything about me."
It's true. Corny and cool is in the grass, indeed. What drug would you like to deal for a living?
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh, I think I'd like to deal shrooms because I think just your clientele stays weird and stays interesting in a way. You'll get a lot of, like, productivity hacker types, like, yes, you know, like Under Armour shirt wearing guys. You'll get a lot of, like, crunchy people. You'll get a lot of people who are really into other subcultures that mushrooms heighten. That's the kind of people I want to be around. Weird nature freaks, weird music freaks, weird comedy freaks, weird movie heads. Like, those
you're
are the
absolutely
people
right.
I like.
The clientele covers a broad range, but are in the weird, freaky subcultures of the broad ranges. Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, and less likely to fucking pull a piece on you when they come in your house.
That's right.
And,
that's
like,
right.
Take your stash.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Once you've taken them on their journey, that they're doing the thing. There's not another, like, oh fuck, now we need them again in 2 hours, and you don't have that level. What drug would you absolutely not like to deal under any circumstances?
Ooh, okay, that's a good question as well. I gotta say, Coke. I just, like, I don't want to be around Coke energy. And I am frequently as a grown-up without kids. As a 40-year-old man without kids whose friends have money. You spend some time around cocaine.
That's for sure.
I don't love it. I like to, I'm in my old age, I like to get, I like to start early and end early, if I'm being honest. I've even shifted away from drinking a lot. So like for me, like I'm into like, all right, I think we saw everybody. That felt like the evening's enough. Let's go home and put on a full movie and get high.
Yes,
and
be able to watch a whole picture. Yeah, consciously. Yeah. Conscious, sure,
yes,
sure.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I'm with you, man. That's funny. I guess that is a 47.
We waking up at 3 a.m. to the DVD menu, blaring.
Yes. Blaring, very loud.
Or Pornhub on your laptop playing your dick out.
You're like, oh, I guess
out.
I made it halfway. Yeah, I made it halfway down that path.
Oh, I had big plans last night.
And finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear Chris Farley say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, our improv show starts in 5 minutes.
Yes. My goodness. Two prov for the heavens. Indeed. Oh, John Gabrus, here are your drug users. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I think we covered it all. I think we covered. That's a fucking fabulous. Oh my God. That two prov just got me a little talking about Pornhub down one path and you and Farley doing two prov down the other. I might get there by the end of this show.
Dude. Yeah. That's pretty much where my brain's at. Fucking and being finally respected in comedy.
Hell yeah. Well, listen, brother, thank you so much for doing the show. Is there where should we tell listeners to find you? Socials, websites, anything you want to throw out there?
I'm at Gabrus on Twitter and Instagram. Check out High and Mighty Action Boys is another podcast I host. And 101 Places to Party Before You Die, now on True TV and HBO Max. Check it out. That's about it right now.
Hell yeah. And,
might be it for a while. We'll see. It's March. The phone ain't ringing. So
the way this goddamn business goes. You never know.
Looking forward to promoting this so I get my face out there again.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, listen, you know what? I want to say thank you. You've always been such a great supporter of me and my work. Going way back in the days of early days of UCB, I've always been a fan of yours, dog. Love you, brother.
I love you too, man.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone for listening. This has been your Weekly Dose.
Hey, America, there's legal use of sleeping with your children, with your daughters, with your sons, and with your husband.
Self-Medicated Weekly Dose is hosted and produced by me, Murph Meyer, with support from Pop Culture Collaborative. Our theme song is My Congressman by 15, courtesy of Jeff Ott and Hopeless Records. Original artwork and production design by Diana Kolsky. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the program, you can listen to new episodes of Weekly Dose every Wednesday. Just look for the Murph Meyer is Self-Medicated feed wherever you get your podcasts. While you're at it, subscribe to the Self-Medicated YouTube channel to see new video clips from the show each week. Follow me on Instagram at Murph Meyer. And for some top-shelf harm reduction resources, head over to selfmedicatedpod.com. Also, don't forget, you can call the Weekly Dose podcast anytime to leave me a voicemail message with your thoughts on drugs and the people who use them. Just pick up the phone and dial 443-MK-ULTRA. All right, that's about it for me. I'll see you next week. Love and solidarity. Goodbye.